Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I am very excited for you to listen to this conversation I had with Inner Circle member Jackie. And without going into all the details here, Jackie made a New Year's resolution back in 2014, which a lot of fitness people make fun of. They say, if you're going to do something, do it now. It shouldn't matter if it's the new year. And part of me agrees with that, but part of me also says, why would you hate on someone for making a New Year's resolution? And Jackie is the perfect example because on January 2nd, 2014, she made a New Year's resolution and has since then lost 100 pounds and completely transformed her life. And in this conversation, she discusses how she did that, how you'll be able to do that as well. And then I also answer a bunch of her questions too about how to get more defined shoulders and various ways to increase the effectiveness of her strength training programs. So I hope you enjoy the episode. If you have any questions, please let me know. And also, if you do like it, please leave a rating on iTunes. They do help a lot. So any support there would be sincerely appreciated. Thank you so much. Enjoy the episode.
Hello.
Jackie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for getting on the phone with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm really excited to do this.
Yeah, no, this is great. So before we dive in, just like give me some background to like where you're from, what you do. Just give me some background information.
Okay. So let's see. I am Jackie and I'm from New Mexico. And let's see. So in 2014, I had just had my third baby and was at the highest of 241 pounds. And so I was at the park with my other two. So I have three total. And I was at the park with my other two and I couldn't go down the slide with them. And so my mom's like, well, for a New Year's resolution, she's like, why don't we join the gym? And I'm like, no, there's no gym, so I'll take care of the baby and blah, 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 all these excuses. And she's like, no, no, let's do it. And so we started January 2nd, I think, of 2014. And I did the workouts and I did nutrition. I was really strict back then. I was doing this other program that was like 1,000 calories a day. And I was losing like 3 pounds a week and it was great. And then, as I got used to being at the gym and I was doing insanity classes and stuff, they told me, you know, you should probably up your calories. You don't need to be eating, you know, those low calories. So I started working with an online coach there at the gym, and I worked with him for quite some time and still lost a lot of weight. And I was doing his workouts and it was more like a bro split. So I was doing, people may not know what that is, but basically it's like working every body part. So, you know, one day I did back, one day I did arms, one day chest and legs. And then what else is missing? Shoulders by itself. So I did that for, God, for a long time. And basically by the end of 2014, I had lost 100 pounds and I was happy and I looked great. And my coach guy was like, you need to become a personal trainer. He's like, it's going to help you along your journey. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I got certified, ACE certified, and then I started teaching classes for Silver Sneakers classes. And so I did that for a long time, but I was never comfortable with doing my own programming. I tend to really overthink quite a bit and gets me into trouble. And so I was always like, what can I do next? What can I do? What can I do to push myself harder? And so basically I've maintained for a long time. I did have to have skin surgery to remove the skin, which they removed 5 pounds. So the day of surgery, which was in 2016, I weighed 141 and that was my absolute lowest. I took out 5 pounds of skin. And so I was like, cool, I'm going to be in the 130s. I'm going to look ripped. Everything's going to be great. Well, I healed and came back from that surgery. And I was like stuck around the 140, 150 range. And so one of the pictures I had sent you was to show you that although I was very lean, which I liked the leanness in my stomach, I didn't look, in my opinion, like I should for somebody who works out 6 days a week, did 40 minutes of cardio a day, taught multiple classes a day, you know, running around like kind of a little chicken with their head cut off all the time. And so I actually had to go back to work full time when my baby turned into kindergarten, which was this past year. And so I was like, well, I'm going to make this change and I'm going to join a different kind of female online group. Because although that coach was great and we became good friends, he was never like a cheerleader for me. He was never like, oh, you can do this. He's kind of snippy with me and very knowledgeable, but I never got that kind of, you can do this and this is why, and explaining things to me. He kind of always kept me in the dark about a lot of stuff. So I never understood why I was doing the things I was doing. And so I started this other group of females only, and I was like, this is going to be great. And that was in December of this past year. And unfortunately, I did a reverse diet up to 2,400 calories because that's what was kind of promoted. They're like, no, you can eat all these carbs because you work out so hard. Don't worry, everything's going to be great. And they're like, don't get on the scale because if you get on the scale, it's going to flip you off.
Right,
I was like, okay.
Like, don't do man.
And I'm like, okay, all right, I won't. So I didn't. So if you go back through my FitnessPal, which I track and weigh everything, I have like an 1,800 day thing in my FitnessPal. I've just been, it doesn't bother me. I'm used to it. It's good for me. And so I did that and I didn't track. And then come May, I stepped on the scale and I was 181 pounds from 150. And I looked, none of my clothes fit. I looked fluffy. And although I worked out throughout this whole 5 years of life, you know, I have never not worked out after the surgeries, of course, you know, giving that time, but I worked out really hard. I did the, followed the workouts to a T with them, everything. And so I reached out and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And they're like, you're just going to have to sit there for like 8 or 9 months until your body catches up.
What?
And then you'll start to lose the weight. And I'm like, are you freaking insane? I'm like, I can't sit here. None of my clothes fit. I look like crap. I'm like, I felt like crap. Even though I was doing these like really great, hard workouts, she kind of also did a bro split type of situation. It was just, I was like, I can't do this.
Wait, so the advice was you just have to wait there and your body will eventually catch up after 8 or 9 months?
After 8 or 9 months, your body will catch up with all the extra food that you're eating and it'll just release it. And then you'll look like this. I'm like, what? And so I freaked out. And you could ask my husband. He's like, maybe you know what you're doing. Maybe you should just do it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to mess with things. Maybe that's what got me in trouble in the first place, you know? And so you know, I was asking them tons of questions and they were like, well, maybe you reverse too fast. And so like, I watched your reverse methods before and theirs was pretty lenient. It was like 150 calories every month. And so I followed that to a T and they're like, maybe you did it too fast. You should have sat there a little bit longer. I'm like, okay, great. But I can't go back in time. So what can I do now? You know, what is the option for me? And so basically, a couple girls private messaged me and they're like, we could never follow her, you know, her calories because we were gaining weight too. So we just followed the workouts. I'm like, well, what the hell is the point of that? I'm an all or nothing kind of person. And I'm like, I want to be with somebody and do everything because I trust them. You know, I don't want to just make up workouts from here, nutrition from here. I mean, then I could just program my own stuff, you know? So one girl said, you should check out Jordan Syatt. And so like, I went that moment to your YouTube and to your Instagram and Facebook. And of course I like binge watched everything and I was like, okay. And I reached out to you and I was like, yes, I want to do one-on-one, but I can't afford it. So you're like, well, Inner Circle. And I was like, okay. So since June 1st, I've been with the Inner Circle and absolutely love it. And so I finished the Unicorn Strong Challenge, loved the workouts. I'd never done strength workouts before. It was more, like I said, more like bro split, more type of thing. So the thing that was problematic for me was that I went from being able to work out 2 to 3 hours a day to now I have my lunch time to do my workout. Yep. And so I would needed something fast and that would burn enough calories. So the Unicorn Strong was fantastic. I have a friend that kind of does kind of strength workouts like you. And he's like, can't you tell you're working a hell of a lot harder now? And I said, oh my God, I'm like dripping sweat now compared to when I would do, you know, the single muscle group workouts. I was like, that was it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I love it. But of course, you know, my brain kicks into gear and I start freaking out and I'm like, So that's why I was like, I need to talk to you and you set me straight.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's so interesting. Like, first of all, thank you for outlining all of that. And just for whatever it's worth, you sort of glossed over some things so nonchalantly. Like, yeah, like I lost 100 pounds. Like, holy shit, that's fucking amazing. You've done some truly remarkable things, and there's a lot that you've accomplished that is just like out of this world extraordinary. And I want to commend you on that. And I mean, I'm sort of speechless just in regard to how well you've done and how hard you've worked. And I mean, even something as simple, not as easy, but as simple as, yeah, you know, join the gym on January 2nd that's how it's been ever since. It's like, it's so easy to say that, but you know, that's what a lot of people struggle with. I mean, and I saw your pictures and I mean, you've completely transformed your life. I mean, could you talk a little bit about the transition and then we can go into more like present day, but can you just talk a little bit about like the transition from when you were at your heaviest to when you were like, hey, I need to make a change?
Yeah, I mean, it was really rough. Like, I've gone back and thought about it. And of course, you go back and you're like, God, how did you let yourself get that big? And I never saw myself, I think, that big. Like, I don't have a lot of pictures, things like that, of when I was really heavy. But I know, like, right towards the end, before I started this, like, I was angry all the time. And like, I didn't want to go out on dates with my husband. I didn't want to do other things with my husband at all. Cause I hated myself. You know what I mean? And my thoughts and my excuses were, I don't have time cause I have to take care of the kids. But when I actually started losing weight and getting into the gym, I realized that taking that hour, because it was only like an hour in the beginning, you know, taking that hour away, time away from them was making me a better person because I got my stress and my frustration out while I worked out. And then I was able to come home and be a better mom. And I'm not going to lie, like that first year was really, really rough. I am a very, very strict person. And so like, throughout this reverse, throughout the 4 years, it's very, very rare that I will go off of my plan. So that can be a big thing for me is like, I'm like, I could see gaining 30 pounds if I like, you know, binged for 8 months and just ate whatever the hell I want. But it was like a controlled amount that I ate. And so like in that first year, like I was super strict with myself. And I remember, you know, there were times when my husband was not on board with it and it was really hard to, I had to cook a separate meal for me and a separate meal for the kids. And, you know, I would take food with me and luckily my mom was very, very helpful. So like if the kids were sick, then she would watch the kids so I could go to the gym. Or I found ways to do workouts at home. And so I did, I always did weights and cardio. So I did more like the HIIT style. And God, I remember like I couldn't even hold a plank like on my knees for more than like 5 seconds when I first started. You know, it was rough, and I kind of did it the dumb way, and I pushed and pushed, and I would do like insanity classes, and I remember there were times like I couldn't even kneel down on my knees because they ached so bad, but I knew that if I got off the weight, that would help, and it did. I don't have problems like that now at all. Once that weight came off, then I didn't have that issue with, you know, achy joints and things like that. But I mean, if I could have found you back then, my life would have been like a hell of a lot easier. But can't go back in time.
Well,
so.
I mean, I will say honestly, it is incredible what you've done, and I really hope that you know that. And I know it's one of those things where you've been doing it now for what, 5 years or so? Like, it's like, which is extraordinary, and it's easy to sort of almost underplay what you've done. But I really hope that you are incredibly proud of yourself, because what you've done is nothing short of a miracle. And I think that it's important to highlight that above all else. And we'll definitely talk about what to do now, maybe like what you should focus on or what strategies you should follow. But I really just want to make sure that you know I'm outrageously impressed, and what you've done is incredible. And I hope that it inspires other people to know, like, if they're at a point in their life where they feel like, oh my God, I have to take care of the kids, or I want to lose weight, but I don't have the time, that maybe they're a little bit inspired by you and what you've done to know, you know what, listen, like, I'll be a better person for my family, for my work, for myself, by investing that little bit of time, even though it's the hard choice, it's the right choice, and I'll feel better for doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And that was when I became a personal trainer, that was where my heart was I wanted to be there for moms, to let them know that, hey, you can do this. And so, I mean, I loved being a personal trainer, loved my clients, loved my classes. Unfortunately, I have like a lot of student loan debt. So I have my master's in environmental health. So I had to like get a real job, you know? So, but it's something that I was so passionate about. And people tell me all the time, Jackie, you need to, you know, open up your own gym and all these things. And, you know, my husband was on board with me doing it. But you know, a personal trainer's life, you know, you have to be there like in the early mornings and late at night and all these things. And I'm like, it wasn't going to work for our family at the time. So I'm like, well, maybe I can still offer that through my Facebook post and through, you know, Instagram and hopefully in the group. I always try and talk to people that, you know, that are new moms and struggling there too, because I'm like, I've been there. I know how hard it is, and you can absolutely do it, and you're going to be better for it. You're going to thank yourself in the long run, but it is definitely it's hard to get started.
Yeah.
Luckily I have an addictive personality. And so if I got the bug, it was easy for me to stay on track. But
So you sent me your pictures, and I know the story now of the reverse dieting and everything. So Do you have specific questions for me about how I might be able to help you moving forward and maybe progress to the next steps?
Yes. I told you I had them written down. So yeah, basically I want to look like Suzanne. Like Suzanne. I want to look like I work out without having to pose for it. Like I don't want to do, at one point in my life, I wanted to do a competition to kind of just say, you know, F you guys, I can do anything I put my mind to. But my coach friend at the time, it's like, he's like, I don't think you can mentally handle the stress of it. He's like, I don't think you can. So he's like, let's train for like a marathon or something where you can see times where you can see that you're progressing instead of just your scale. And I'm like, okay. And I have to say, I hated the scale. Scale was evil wench, and I hated it. And then, it wasn't until your fluctuations video that I watched actually several times, to really start doing this daily weigh-in, which is kind of, I sent you a picture of that as well. And it's really helped me out a lot, because I used to really get so depressed if the scale went up. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm doing so good. Like, I don't understand this. And it was something that was never explained to me before, that there would be fluctuations, and here's kind of why. And if you just stay the course, you know, it'll come down. And I really wish that had I watched the scale a little bit better during that reverse, I could have caught maybe where my maintenance was. So I'm absolutely not against, you know, going into maintenance at some point. You got to be a little bit more, you got to document it a little bit better so that, you know, so I don't have this huge gain again. And so I'm kind of like stuck in a between a rock and a hard place in my head, is because I want to build muscle, but I want to lean out. So I want to get as lean as I kind of showed you in those pictures, as small as I was kind of waist wise. But then I want to see muscle. I want to see back muscle and arm muscle. I mean, not intense. I mean, like, Susan's shoulders are freaking phenomenal, and I know that'll take years to build, but I want to at least, you know, have a good shape to it, to where I'm like, oh yeah, you did, you know, you work out, cool, what do, you know?
I completely get that.
Yeah, it's my, go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, I completely get that. It makes 100% sense, and I think it's a very, it's a clear goal. So are you, right now, you said you're 180, 181, is that where you are right now?
So I dropped. So from when I started with you to right now, I'm actually 170, 171.
Amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah, so that's been since June. And so this is why I wanted to talk to you, because my brain goes crazy and I'm like, that's only half a pound a week. And then, because remember, I lost 100 pounds in like 1 year. And so in my head, I'm like, I should be able to take this off a lot faster. But it's very strange when I look at my pictures of what I look at right now, the very last one I send you, to what I was at my leanest, there's not, in my opinion, a 30-pound difference of fat on me right now. And so that's why I'm like, maybe I don't need to worry so much about the scale weight and really focus on the body composition aspect of it. Because I don't, you know, another question is, you know, am I in the calorie deficit? Am I doing it correctly, to where you would say, you know, I'm dropping at a rate that you would expect?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've asked several really good questions. And I think the first one is that, number one, and most importantly, yes, dropping at half a pound a week on average is tremendous. I think it's amazing. And not to mention, you also sent me your strength numbers. And I looked at them, like, your strength has gone up outrageously. Like, your deadlift, like, what is it? How much has your deadlift increased in this time?
So let's see, I have it written down. I think it went from like 95 pounds up to, I just did 155. Yep, 95 to 155. And I posted it in the group, and both Megan and Tony said, that's too light. Post more pictures when you're pulling it heavier.
Because they saw that it was too easy for you?
They said it was too easy. Yeah. They're like, you're not even struggling at all. And I'm like, okay.
and that just goes to show you that, like, you've literally, like, about doubled your deadlift, like, which is crazy. I mean, that strength is an outrageous amount of strength. And your squat, how have your squats improved?
Same thing. So I went from about 95 pounds to 155. And that's one goal of mine, is I don't feel that I have a very good deep squat. Like, I've watched Natalia's squats and a couple of other ones that post their videos, and I like to call it like the booty pop. And it's like, they like flop their booty in, like when they come down past parallel, and I've not been able to do that. And it looks, not only does it look sexy to me, but I'm just like, I don't know how to get that low. I don't know if I'm just scared to do it or what, but I did have I did ask a guy at the gym to spot me for the 155, and he's like, you didn't even need me for that. And I'm like, okay, thanks. But I think it's, again, it's all in my head. So when we trained bro split wise, it was never super heavy.
Got it. Okay.
So I didn't do deadlifts. We didn't do squats. If we did squats, they were like, you know, it was more for reps. So like these crazy rep schemes that we would go through, pyramids and things like that, or, you know, and so it was never heavy, heavy. Cause he's like, if you do something super heavy, you're just going to put more muscle on your legs and they're going to grow bigger and not shape out the way that you want them to. And I'm like, well, I definitely don't want bigger legs, you know? So I, you know, I followed, like I said, I probably followed blindly in a sense, but I did that. So when I started with the Unicorn Strong, I was like, okay, well, I'm really going to push my strength. And then I followed you, like, with, now that you're doing with Paul and how you were saying you kind of try and hit that PR almost every time you work out. And I've taken that to heart and I've tried to do that. And I think that it's definitely showing in those numbers, because all around, you know, the overhead press, bench press, I mean, everything's gone up tremendously from what I would, you know,
had done before. So that's where I think is a really important point to consider right now. And there's some really important concepts that we're discussing. Number one, in going back to the original aspect of the scale, is you have to remember the scale right before, when you were losing 100 pounds, it was really, you were mainly just focused on losing weight, right? It wasn't necessarily focused on building muscle. It wasn't necessarily focused. It was like, I just want to lose weight as quickly as possible. And you even said you did it in a very extreme way. I have a feeling that now you're much more balanced with it. You know how to do it in a more controlled, more sustainable way. And at the same time, you're lifting in a way that you've never lifted before. You're lifting very as heavy as you can. You're trying to get stronger. You're building muscle. Your protein intake is probably higher. So to say that you are legitimately building muscle while you're also losing fat is not outrageous. I think it's an important thing to clarify. And this is something that I've recently changed my stance on, because I've always said up until now that you need to be in a calorie deficit to lose fat and you need to be in a calorie surplus to build muscle. And that's technically accurate from the perspective of, like, fat loss only happens in a deficit and muscle gain only happens in a surplus. But when it comes to muscle gain, we actually do have a little bit more nuance to consider. And research is showing that you can build muscle even if you're in a net deficit, as long as two things, as long as you are lifting heavy enough and not or, but and you are keeping your protein high enough. Now, there's also something else to consider. You can build muscle in a calorie deficit as long as you're lifting heavy enough and your protein is high enough, but you only optimize muscle growth when you are in a surplus with enough protein and with enough heavy lifting. So it's a difference between can you and optimization. Like, yes, you can, but it won't be optimized. So here's what's going on. You're lifting heavier than you ever have. Your protein intake is probably, I'm assuming, relatively high based on, like, you following the guidelines and you knowing how to eat high protein. You're building strength, you're building muscle, and you're losing fat. Not to mention, and this is something that a lot of people completely overlook, is bone density. As you get stronger and you lift heavier weight, you will literally be building more bone. Like, literally, you will. This is one of the reasons why strength training is so important as you get older, to help prevent against osteoporosis. So you are literally adding bone to your body, which is also going to add weight. Now, it's not going to be pounds upon pounds every month, but it will add weight. Again, weight, not fat. So if we're looking at your scale loss, it makes a lot of sense that you wouldn't be losing as quickly, considering you're doing it more sustainably. You are also building strength and muscle. You're definitely also building bone as well. And you're not doing it so extreme that you're only focusing on rapid fat loss. Like, all of this points to a half a pound a week of weight loss on average being a tremendously positive amount, especially because, number one, I mean, like, half a pound is better than nothing, and because you're sustaining it while getting stronger. Like, you literally, your strength has increased an incredible amount in a relatively short period of time. Like, that is, it's, you can't only look at the scale as the one measurement. We also have to look at, if you had said like half a pound a week and my deadlift had only gone up 10 pounds, or maybe your deadlift actually went down, then I would say, hey, listen, like, then we need to look at something because something's off. But the fact that your strength has so rapidly increased while you're consistently and sustainably losing weight, I mean, this is a winning formula.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Especially thinking about, like, you've been doing this since 2014, and you are by that, like, the poster person for sustainability. For like, listen, like, this is a forever thing. This isn't like a quick fix. Like, you're trying to do this forever. So even if it's quote unquote only half a pound a week, if you do that for the next 2 years, like, that's a lot. That's a lot. The next 2 years, right? Half a pound a week for a year is what? It's about like 25, 26 pounds over the year. Yeah. Then for two years, then it's like what? 50, 52 pounds. Like, that's incredible. Yeah. And then that, like, and I think that's really where you even said, looking at Susan and her shoulders and her definition, you're like, listen, it's going to take years for me to get there. It's like, cool. So we just outlined, if you do this exact thing for the next 2 years, then like, that's only 2 years, and you'd probably be very close, if not there at that point. Does that make sense?
That does. That does. And that was, I freaked out in my head, and then I'm a addictive note taker as well. So I went back through all my notes, and I'm like, no, we were changing my calories like constantly and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, we didn't. We just sat there. And so, like, I had to tell myself, okay, Jack, you need to be patient and you need to do this. And also, I agree completely. I think that at that time, if I went back to those style workouts, my weight would probably come down a little bit faster, but I wasn't happy at that low weight with the muscle that I had as well. So I'm like, okay, no, we have to do it differently. And this is absolutely a smarter way to do it. Like, I feel better. I sleep better. I mean, there's just, everything is good. It's just that I always want to push myself harder and say, okay, Jackie, well, what else can you do to make this maybe happen a little bit faster, or to, I don't know.
Well, listen, I get it. I very much empathize with the wanting to go faster. And it's, I'll tell you this, I think one of the best things anybody can do in life is find something in which they are a complete beginner, find something in which they are a newbie, find something in which they are a complete student. Because if you stay too long in like the master expert role, then things get boring, you burn out. And that's, for example, one reason why I'm going back into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because like, I'm a beginner, I'm a newbie with it. Like, every time I go, I learn something new. And of course, when I go there, I'm like, God, I just want to be like the black belts. Like, I want to be super good at it. Like, I want to be like you guys. And like, okay, yeah, but I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years now, so you got to relax. It's like, it's the same thing. It's we always want to achieve that master, expert, black belt level, if you will. But we oftentimes forget that it's the process of achieving that mastery that really shapes who we are and what we do and how much we enjoy it. And it's just something to really keep an eye on. Like, yes, it's okay to want to go faster, and it's natural to want to go faster. What I would just very much encourage you to do is don't let that want or desire to go faster cause you to do things that you know in your gut isn't going to help you. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad we're on this call, because this is you taking a step to being like, hey, I know I want to go faster, but what the fuck should I actually do? And I think that number one is you're doing it right. You are being sustainable with it. You are being very smart by not going crazy with a huge calorie deficit. You're being very smart by lifting heavier, trying to increase the weight that you're lifting. Like, these are all the things. I mean, Susan didn't get shoulders like that by lifting lightweight. I'll tell you that much. Like, Susan got like shoulders like that because she lifts a fuck ton. And she didn't start lifting a fuck ton. It's a fuck ton relative to what she could do at any point in time. So it's always like trying to lift heavier, trying to get stronger. I mean, when I first started working with Susan, which I think that was 2014 or so, she couldn't do a single chin-up. Now she's doing weighted chin-ups. You know, it's like,
I know.
But that's like 5 years in the making. It's the same thing. It happens over time. And I think what if there's one thing that you can take from this call is that you're doing it right. You're doing it smart. You're doing it intelligently. And don't let that sneaky, creepy feeling of, oh, but I could be going faster, cause you to change what you're doing. Because right now, I think that you are on the path to success in the long term. And I think that as long as you continue to really focus on building strength and building muscle and lifting heavier, that you're going to enjoy it a lot, because getting strong is always fucking fun. And it's going to, that's where you're going to see the most growth in terms of the whole, like, looking like you lift type thing, right? Where it's like, wow, that really, it's funny. A lot of people, they want to look like they lift and they'll do things diet wise where okay, well, I'll lose a lot of weight, da da da. But it's like, no, the only way to look like you lift is to actually fucking lift. Like, you got to really go in and you got to lift like you lift. Not just look like you lift. You got to lift like you lift. Lift heavy. Lift strong. Don't go crazy. Don't snap your back. Don't sacrifice your technique. But if you want to look like you lift, you actually got to lift like you lift and really go heavy.
Right. Which is – and that was my question, is because I come from such a – bro split background, you know, I'm like, that's what I have to do to have these defined biceps and triceps and shoulders. And then I'm like, well, no, because look at Susan. She looks, you know, phenomenal. And I'm pretty sure she follows a lot of the program. No, you tweak it, but she kind of follows a lot of the concepts that we use in the IC. And so that's why I'm like, okay, I'll talk with Jordan and make sure that, you know, I'm on the same path, because I actually really enjoy this type of workout and this type of lifting. It makes me feel strong. And I can tell you that I'm in the gym and I see these big old guys look at me like, you're not going to lift that. And I totally lift it. And I'm like, ha. So it's just, it's a pride thing. Like, I'll come home, I'm like, oh, I lifted this much. And they're like, oh, you better be careful. But I'm like, no, it wasn't even hard, you know, but it makes me feel, you know, accomplished when I hit these PRs. And so that's something that I really like doing. But of course, I wanted to make sure that, as you saw my pictures, you know, that I'm headed in the right direction with keeping these, you know, kind of these splits that we do. I do the 4 day a week split. And so I was like, well, Jordan's going to be the best person to say. So
yeah, no. And I'll tell you the biggest things that I definitely want you to focus on. Number one is I would say, I'm trying to actually think, because I don't want to order it in order of importance, because then I'll lose track. But I'm going to say the most important things is a grouping. So number one is definitely continue to focus on lifting heavier. Right now, there's an easy trap to fall into with that, where people are like, okay, so it means like every time I go, I need to lift heavier. That's not going to happen. In the same way that in every time you step on the scale, you're not going to lose weight. You're not going to go to the gym every single time and lift heavier. That's just impossible. If you added 10 pounds a month to your bench press, 10 pounds a month, not just 10 pounds a week, but 10 pounds a month, that's one every four workouts, then that would be 120 pounds to your bench press by the end of the year, which is like, that's fucking outrageous. Because if you're already benching 100 pounds, you're 220. It's, a lot of people never do that in their entire life. So it's important to keep that in mind, that more than actually lifting more weight, I think is the trying, the effort that you're putting into it, and knowing that sometimes that might mean lowering the weight and that's still giving the most effort that you can. That's really the most important part, is the amount of effort you're giving, not necessarily what that translates to in terms of your all-time weight lifted. If you go in one day and you're not feeling good, your head isn't in it, but you give it your all for that day, that is much more important than necessarily hitting an all-time personal record. Does that make sense?
It does, yes.
So, and I know you do this, are keeping track of the weights that you're lifting, how much you've lifted. Sometimes what I would definitely say is, let's say like there's no way you can add another 5 or 10 pounds to the bar. I would still say like it would be worthwhile to if you can't add another more weight to the bar, maybe see if you can do another rep or just one more, just like one more. So if the rep scheme is like 4 or 5 repetitions for deadlifts, maybe see if you get 6. Or if you're doing more like lat pull downs or you're doing for dumbbell rows and you can't add more weight without like failing too early, see if you can add another 1 or 2 reps. That's also another way of improving. Another way of improving is just controlling it more, slowing it down, taking a longer time to do the repetition for more time under tension. So there's ways to improve from adding more weight. There's ways to improve from adding more reps. There's ways to improve from improving your technique, increasing your time under tension. These are all ways of improving. And I think it's one of the greatest things I've really implemented working with Paul is I try and lift more every time I go, but it doesn't mean I'm actually lifting more. And sometimes lifting more might mean just like it takes me longer to do the set because I'm controlling the weight more. So it's getting more time under tension. So there's a lot of ways to improve. You could also improve by using less rest time. So for example, if the usual rest time is 75 seconds and you drop it to 65 seconds, that's improvement. It's like just simple things like that, small little improvements over time. And that's why the inner circle workouts, they change every 4 weeks. So over those four, the way that I like to structure it is week 1, take it relatively easy. I would say on like a scale of 1 to 10, I'd go like 6, between 6 and 7. And then that way, week 2, week 3, week 4, then you can go from like 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10. And you sort of like progressively increase over those 4 weeks so that the last week is your all out week. You go as hard as you can. Boom. Then you get into a new workout the following week when the new edition is out. And then you can start like at the 6 or 7 again. Does that make sense?
That does. And that is what I did. So from Unicorn Strong, tomorrow will be the day four of the August, because September hadn't come out yet, so I hadn't been able to log it. But so I did August, and I loved it. It was intense, and I'm like, that's what I did. Was that first week kind of lowered it down, almost like a deload-ish kind of type of week,
yeah.
And then now I hit it like I did a PR on my leg press today of 300 pounds. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yay, I got it up. It was good. So I was like, okay, I can do this. And it's smart to me. It makes sense. And it's not something that I know that I'm going to get like super hurt on, if I follow this plan. So that's why I was like, I'm pretty sure you're just going to suggest that I stick with the monthly workouts, because I also like to change it up and get different ones and kind of battle against the other people in the IC, like doing the, oh my God, those 100 lunges were death.
Oh my God, those were brutal.
I come back into work and everybody's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, just give me like an hour. So it was something that I really enjoyed, because I like stuff that, that stretches me, but not like from the very get-go to where you hate it the whole time, you know? So I'm really happy with the way the programming is. So that's why I was like, I hope he doesn't say to change it.
No, and just so you know, I know you mentioned it earlier. So, I mean, I've designed Susan's workouts since we started working together one-on-one years ago. But the thing is, it's like the way that I design Susan's workouts are the same way that I program the inner circle workouts. One of the main reasons I still do Susan's workouts is because she's had shoulder issues for years and years and years and years. She actually, because we started working together, we were able to prevent her from getting shoulder surgery. But like I do her workouts to basically, number one, it's nice to have someone else do them. And also because I want to make sure that she can have workouts that like take care of making sure she's not going to get hurt or like aggravate a pre-existing injury. But like the same exact type of stimuli, the same exact concepts and principles, absolutely. And so 100%, like I think following the inner circle workouts for your goal of continuing to lose fat while building strength and muscle definition that's literally what they're designed for. And I would say if I could just give you one piece of advice, it's to trust yourself, trust the process, and be patient, because what you're doing right now is literally perfect. It's perfect. There's nothing that I would say that you need to change, that you're doing wrong. Like Your progress is phenomenal. Your strength has increased. You hit a personal record in your leg press. Your all your lifts are going up. Your weight is going down. I mean, when you hear me saying it, you must be like, Jesus, like, of course it's going well. Like, when you say it like that, your weight's going down, your strength is going up, it's all going the right direction. Keep doing it and be patient. And remember, you started this on January 2nd, 2014. Like, this didn't happen overnight. This isn't going to happen overnight either. Just keep going. I promise you have the resiliency and the resolve and the dedication of the best of them. Now just keep doing what you know is right and don't let any emotions change your actions because you're crushing it.
Good. Yay. I did that when we wrote out for us to do our end of year goal. And I was like, okay, I'm going to change my deficit. I'm going to drop my calories. And I went back and I looked through a lot of your videos and I'm like, no, why would I change something that's working, you know? And so I had to like talk to myself. I had a conversation with myself out loud and I'm like, all right, Jackie, you can't do this. Although you want things to go faster, it's not going to help get you where you want to go because you did that before and it wasn't getting you where you wanted. So now you need to just really focus. And when I broke down the numbers and saw, okay, half a pound a week is good. And would you tell your friend?
That's
an idiot.
Right.
Only lost half a week.
Oh, you might as well quit.
And so I'm like, okay, all right. So I have to say that honestly, like, I've been on this journey or I know you don't like the word journey.
The journey is fine. It's fine.
I've been on this thing for like forever, it seems. And I never really truly understood it. And I have to say, and I preach you to everybody at work, trust me, that asks. And I say, you know, it really, you break it down so easily and it makes so much more sense that way to me. So now I understand why this works and I understand how to do these things. And yes, I knew how to work out before and I knew how to eat, but now I know why I'm doing it this way and why things are working the way they're supposed to. So I really have to say thank you for that because it's really helped my mind and my emotions get in check because that was something that always had me reaching for, oh, I'm going to try keto. I'm going to try intermittent fasting. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And it was driving everybody crazy. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's working. And my friend lost 50 pounds doing that. So that's what I have to try. And now I'm like, well, no, why am I going to do that when what I'm doing right now is working for me? So
I love that. And I want you to know, I mean, you said a couple things, like you had a conversation with yourself and you realized, well, what would I tell a friend? Like you're doing all of these things perfectly. You're not just hearing the advice, you're taking it, you're doing it. And that's a big difference between you and many people. Many people will hear the advice and they might even understand the advice, but very few people actually take the advice. And the fact that you've consistently applied these strategies into your life on your own is very impressive. And I said it from the beginning and I'll say it again. I really hope you are proud of yourself and consistently see why you should be proud of yourself, because what you've accomplished already is nothing short of magical. And just, I have no doubt that one day in 3, 4, 5 years, you and I, we're going to be either at the Inner Circle Retreat or we're going to be out like having a coffee or whatever. And we're going to play this podcast back and laugh and say, remember when you said you wanted to look like you lift? You're going to be like, look, I fucking look like I lift right now. And we're going to laugh. I guarantee it, because I know that you're not just going to hear it. You're not just going to understand it, but you're going to do it. And that is like, I'm so impressed with you. And I really hope that you are proud of yourself, because you should be.
I'm hard on myself, Jordan, but I do try to do that. And I actually did reach out to get some counseling because right before I, you know, started looking at all your stuff, like during this whole reverse thing, it was messing with my mind. And the therapist is like, okay, you know what to do. You need to just calm down. She's like, and give yourself some grace. She's like, because you have come a long, long way. And she's like, I think you're just in my work and everything. She's like, you're an overachiever. She's like, which is a great thing. She's like, but it's, you know, it can be really hard to see how far you've come. And so I did, I had to come back and I said, I take notes for everything. So I went back through my measurements and through pictures and I'm like, yeah, crap. I have come quite a bit, you know, quite a long, long ways. And then I found you and it just, it, everything kind of solidified that in my mind, but it definitely, you know, we still, everybody I think hits those moments, but it's like what you do with it, that I think is what matters. And I'm thankful that, you know, not only do we have you as our, you know, awesome freaking magical leader, but we also have the IC, which is phenomenal. And, you know, if you're having a bad day, you can just go on there and be like, hey. So.
Well, I appreciate that. And just so you know, just one more thing is I think that that is incredibly beneficial and helpful that you've done is you've tracked all of your data, right? You've tracked your weights, you've tracked your strength measurements, you've tracked all of this data so that you can look back at it. And I think it's one of the major benefits of, and advantages of doing that is I think we're all hard on ourselves, like myself included. I think we all are harder on ourselves than we are on pretty much anybody else. And yeah. It's very easy to overlook your accomplishments and it's easy to underplay the things that you've done. And I love that you seeked out help and that you were able to look at these and like, wow, you know what? Like I've really done something amazing here. And I'm very impressed with you. What you've done is nothing short of tremendous. And I cannot wait for that day in 2, 3, 4 years, whenever it is, where we can laugh and replay this podcast and then do another one and to show people how far you've come. I'm very impressed with you and I'm so grateful that you took the time to get on the phone and speak with me. And do you have any other questions? Is there anything that I can help you with?
I guess the only other thing is how do you think I can get that squat deeper, that booty flop?
So here's a couple things. Number one is in terms of a deeper squat, I'll say a few things. Number one is I do have several videos in the Inner Circle that are specifically made for how to get a deeper squat. I know we have in the Squat Supremacy program, if you struggle with squat depth, there's some videos in there. Also some separate videos that I can send you that are probably in the vault. What I'll say is this, generally speaking, a lot of times people talk about squat depth from the perspective of you don't have the mobility for it. And a lot of times it's actually not the case. Especially, and this is speaking in generalities, but just generally speaking, most women tend to have plenty of mobility and they lack stability, and most men tend to have plenty of stability and they lack mobility. It's a very general statement, but it actually holds true very often. So what I would say is this. Number one is try and take your stance, and I haven't seen your stance, so I can look at a video, but I would say try and take your stance a little bit wider. If your stance is about parallel, maybe take it like a little bit, or shoulder width apart, maybe take it like slightly wider than shoulder width. Turn your toes slightly out so they're not pointing straight forward. I do like slightly externally rotated toes.
Okay.
And also, here's one of the most important ways and best ways to increase your squat depth. I'm going to give you two. Number one is take a big breath in before you go down and squeeze your abs. Either like someone's going to punch you in the stomach and you want to squeeze so it doesn't hurt, and or like you're trying to poop. Just don't actually poop. That's a really important part there. And the other one is, because what will happen is when you squeeze your abs and you brace, and oftentimes when you squeeze the bar as well, you create more tension, and that tension creates stability, and that allows you to get deeper. Along with that is a lot of times people struggle with squat depth because they're scared. They're scared, yeah. And I'm assuming that might be what you're struggling with, is the fear of being able to not get back up or falling over.
Yeah.
So what I would do is possibly – get a box or a bench and put it underneath you. So like you do a box squat and just practice getting low enough. And also if you're in a squat rack, you can set it up so the pins are, worst comes to worst, the bar just rests on the pins and like you can just get out from underneath it without it falling. really encourage you to use those and be very patient. Even use like a 3 to 5 second lowering portion, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and really get all the way down. Be very patient with it, because when you're scared or nervous, you'll try and rush it. You'll go very fast and you won't allow yourself to get deep, not because you can't, but because you're scared and you don't give yourself enough time to. So lower the weight, set the pins up or a box underneath you so that you have a definitive depth that you have to go to until you touch it, and then you can come back up, and be very patient with it. And because the more patient you are, the more you'll build up the courage to keep going. Whereas if you allow your fear to increase the speed of the lift, then a lot of times you just won't give yourself enough time to get to the bottom. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. Yeah.
So I would definitely do that. And also in terms of like the butt flop, definitely not looking to have a butt flop. I will say that. Like sometimes, depending on how low you go, there will be a little bit, we call it like a butt wink, where like your butt will like sort of like sometimes it will tuck slightly underneath your hips. And there's important things to discuss here. There is a certain amount of butt wink that is safe, that is okay. Generally speaking, like I don't want a lot of it. So for example, Natalia's is, that's a safe amount. Like Natalia's squat is very, very good. She gets very deep. She has a slight butt wink. And it, I guess when you're like, yeah, it looks sexy, I guess it sort of looks like a dance move a little bit. I will say Natalia is relatively advanced, and she knows how to do it in a controlled way that it's not dangerous and it's not too much. If it's too much of a butt wink, then it can actually be a little bit dangerous in terms of the amount of the amount that your spine will flex, will bend. It can be a little bit dangerous, but I wouldn't necessarily go for having butt wink. I would go for instead increasing your squat depth. And then as you do that, you'll be able to see what's going on with your hips and your lower back, and we'll see from there. But I wouldn't necessarily chase the butt wink. I would just for now focus on being very patient and eliminating the fear with it so that you can get deep enough.
Yay. That's what I was thinking, is that was one of my, I have my goals was an unassisted pull up and then to squat deeper. And so those are things then that I'll work on. And you'll get to hopefully see them while I'm going to the retreat. So
hell
hopefully
yeah,
you'll get to see my squat depth then.
Well, we're definitely going to get a workout in at the retreat, yes. And for sure. So, and also, I don't know if you saw, we have the chin-up specialization program that we put out as well. That might be a good one for you to follow in the next month.
That was, I'm the September issue looks so good that I want to do that. But
good.
Then I was like, squat supremacy and the chin up one, I'm like, I don't know. So what I've been doing though is just this week is I added in working on the rows on the squat machine. So the inverted rows?
Yeah.
The inverted rows.
That's perfect.
So I started working on those, and I actually did buy bands. But I got scared to get my leg up that high and get stuck in it. So I'm going to work on those band pull-ups at home. But for a while, until I think my bands stretch out and I get used to the movement, and then I'll try them again at the gym. But
that's perfect. I love that. Jackie, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate you coming on. And I'm very, very, very impressed. And I cannot wait to see your progress.
Sounds great. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jordan. Jackie. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me. I sincerely appreciate you being so open and honest and taking the time to do that. Again, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to let me know. And I would sincerely appreciate it if you left a rating on iTunes. They help a lot more than I expected. I've seen a bunch of people doing it recently, so huge thank you to everyone who's left a review. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.